Well, on the I Am sayings of Jesus, and we're starting this series. Obviously, the focus is on Jesus, rightly so. We're coming up to Easter, and the focus will continue to be on Jesus, every week, in fact, of our church life, but with a particular focus on these words of Jesus in John's Gospel. So, starting today with I Am the Good Shepherd, and you'll have noticed that in this passage that Sue read in John 10. Jesus also says, I am the gate. And in 2 or 3 weeks' time, Salwa is going to be speaking particularly about I am the gate. So I'm going to try not to tread on her toes much at all. Well, when you drive along a country road and cows are in, have you ever done this? You've driven along a country road and there's a bunch of cows in the middle of the road. Yeah? What happens? They just look at you, don't they? They give you that kind of menacing look, don't they? Like, you be careful kind of look. I've had that experience. And then gradually, in their own time, they kind of amble off, don't they? When they're ready. Yeah. So you don't rush them, do you? What about when you drive along a country road and you come across a load of sheep? What happens? Yeah, they do, don't they? They run around and they run off pretty quickly. Or when you walk through a field, I don't know how often you do that, you walk through a field of sheep, they're kind of a little bit wary, aren't they? They're kind of just watching, but they pretty quickly, they scatter, don't they? They get out of the way. Well, maybe sometimes we think sheep are a bit silly. I don't know whether we do think that, but the Bible says a lot about sheep. And those of us who follow Christ are described as sheep. Not that we're silly, but this is a very common image that is used. The Bible is obviously written into an agricultural society, and sheep farming, looking after sheep, was a very normal activity. And I guess if we lived in the countryside, we might be very familiar with sheep and shepherds. I had a look at a job search website the other day to see if I could find a job as a shepherd anywhere. And I put in the search, I put Hereford, thinking market town, Herefordshire, maybe there'll be a few jobs as shepherds. No chance. The closest I got to it was a ice cream production manager for Shepherd's Ice Cream in Hereford. That's about as close as we get. You see, we don't really have shepherds anymore, certainly not in the UK, maybe in other countries. In the UK, we're not very familiar, are we, with the role of shepherds? And I guess the job of looking after sheep is done by farmers, and sheepdogs are great at rounding up sheep, aren't they? They do an amazing job. But in the Bible, everybody understood what shepherds did, what their role was. Shepherds were very common in the Bible. And in the Old Testament, the role of shepherd is often equivalent to the role of the king. And the sheep, this picture of the Bible in the Bible is often used, the picture of the shepherd and the sheep is often used to describe the king and his people in the land. And in the Bible, the ideal king is described as a shepherd, maybe modeled on the shepherd boy David, who actually, as the Bible says, became king after God's own heart. We'll come back to David in a second, briefly. And as you can see from that passage we read in Ezekiel 34, the shepherds of the Old Testament had failed miserably often, not all of them, but many of them had failed miserably to lead the people. And so in Ezekiel 34, you see a catalogue of the failure as God has so much to say about the shepherds who should have been leaders of God's people. Describes them as thieves and robbers, in it for themselves. And so in Ezekiel 34, as John 10, Ezekiel 34, many of the kings were in it, they were in leadership, they were in power for their own gain, their own profit, they were in it for themselves. And so in verse 10 of Ezekiel 34, I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock, says the Lord. And Zechariah, there are many other references, but Zechariah 11 describes many of the shepherds, many of the leaders, the kings, as worthless shepherds. That's how bad things had got. And David, as you know, actually was a shepherd. And his job was to protect the bears, protect the sheep from the bears and the lions. And he was risking his life. That was his job before he became king. He was a shepherd boy, and he risked his life to protect the sheep from bears and lions. So actually, Goliath was no big deal for him, because bears and lions, Goliath, no contest. So for David, he was kind of used to this. And so later, God said to David, you will shepherd my people Israel, and you shall become their ruler. And we prayed, didn't we, just now about leadership. The world is crying out for good leadership, isn't it? I despair when I hear some of the things that come out of Donald Trump's mouth. I despair. I think, please God, do not let him win the election in November. I pray he never becomes president. Other leaders like Putin and Netanyahu are very proud of their military power and their strength, and the Psalms in particular warns against putting your trust in your military power and your strength. These are different models of leadership, aren't they? Not all of them good. I think about Jacinda Ardern, the former Prime Minister of New Zealand. Do you remember her? Do you remember the Christchurch massacre 5 or 6 years ago, the mosques that were bombed in Christchurch, New Zealand? And Jacinda Ardern, she went to the hospital. She went to see the injured. And she was the leader of the nation who went and knelt at people's bedsides and showed empathy and sympathy with the people who had lost relatives and the people who were severely injured in that mosque attack. That's leadership, isn't it? That's the kind of leadership we are looking for. That's the kind of leadership. In the Old Testament, God is the mighty one, the shepherd. We read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, the rock of Israel. Even going back to Genesis 49, God is described as the shepherd, the rock of Israel, the shepherd of Israel in the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. And so in Ezekiel 34, as Mark read for us, God will be the shepherd. And in Ezekiel, in his day, among the exiles who had been scattered to places like Babylon, God would gather the scattered flock and he would look after them and bring them back to their land. And so the language of verses 11 to 16 in Ezekiel 34 is so similar to what Psalm 23 says. The Lord is my shepherd, and you know the rest, what it says. And Jesus would also say similar things. And the rest of Ezekiel 34, we didn't read it today, but if you read on the rest of that chapter, you will see that it points forward to the security that God as shepherd would bring to the scattered people. He would bring them back to their land, and there would be a future David who would look after the sheep and be their shepherd. I love the Christmas story for many reasons, and one of the reasons I love it is that after Mary and Joseph heard the good news about the birth of Jesus that was going to happen, guess who heard the good news? Shepherds. I love it. Shepherds, ordinary people. I guess a lot of people thought, shepherds, well. But shepherds were the ones that had the good news revealed to them. They were the chosen ones to hear. And then they became evangelists, didn't they? They went back to their day job and they started telling people about all the amazing things. Maybe the choice of shepherds was God getting people ready for the fact that 30 years later, Jesus would say, I am the good shepherd. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Not just any shepherd, but the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Good because there had been many bad shepherds. But the word good is not just good here. It also means something beautiful. Because if you look at the verses before John 10 that we read, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he is challenging them about their failure to lead the people. He describes them as blind. Jesus had just healed somebody who was literally blind. And then he goes on to describe the blindness of the Pharisees. They had failed in many ways to lead. And so the word good, good shepherd, also means beautiful in a way. And so Jesus, the good shepherd, does good and beautiful things. So what is so special about Jesus, the good shepherd? Four things I'm going to pick out from John 10 here. And keep in mind that in the Old Testament, God, the Lord, is the good shepherd. And here's Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. And you remember that Jesus also said, I and the Father are one. So there's a continuation all through the Bible. God the good shepherd, Jesus the good shepherd. Four things from John 10. The first is this. Jesus the good shepherd knows the sheep. He knows the sheep. He knows us. He calls us by name. We are the sheep of his pasture. He knows us. You see, being a Christian is about a relationship, isn't it? He knows us. It says here, he knows them and they know him. And so the question I've got for you this morning, or at least one of the questions, is do you know him? Do you know him? Could you say as a Christian that you have a good relationship with God, that you know God? Because that's what one of the things the Bible challenges us over and over again is about knowing God. Not knowing about God, but knowing God. It's about relationship. And so Jesus, the good shepherd, knows the sheep, and he wants the sheep to know him too. The passage also says that the sheep follow him and listen to his voice. And so, do you listen to his voice? Do you listen to his voice through the word of God on your phone or in this format? Doesn't matter. Do you listen to the voice of God? I know my sheep, they know me, and they listen to my voice, says Jesus. So the first thing is this, Jesus the good shepherd knows the sheep. Second thing is this, Jesus the good shepherd cares about the sheep. I love that. He looks after the sheep. You have a picture both in Ezekiel 34 and also here in John 10. Jesus cares about the sheep. He cares about us, right? Isn't that great? Jesus the good shepherd cares about you and me. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And he wants the best for us. And you will have noticed that verse. Many of you'll be very familiar with the verse 9, verse 10. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Sometimes we call that abundant life. It's abundant life as defined by God, not defined by us. Life in all its fullness, not in the way that we think of life in all its fullness, but the way that God thinks of life in all its fullness. And I love that verse in Romans 8. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It's a great verse, isn't it? Jesus the good shepherd cares about the sheep and he looks after the sheep. And that's a wonderful thing. I find that really encouraging that God loves me, he knows me, and he looks after me, and he cares about me. That's the second thing. Third thing from John 10, Jesus the good shepherd voluntarily lays down his life for the sheep. And it's mentioned twice here in this passage. Jesus the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus was willing in obedience to God. We remember this with this meal. This is the difference between Ezekiel 34 and John 10, is that here in John 10, Jesus said, I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. And Jesus uses a picture here, the difference between the person who's hired to look after the sheep and the one who owns the sheep. And Jesus uses the language of care. So when the wolf comes to attack the sheep, the hired person runs away. But Jesus, the good shepherd, the one who owns the sheep, he cares enough to lay down his life so that the sheep can be rescued. Isn't that a beautiful image? That's an image of the cross, isn't it? That's what Jesus does on the cross. He lays down his life so that we can be rescued. And then, as it says here, he came back to life again. Jesus is once again predicting that he will lay down his life and also that he will come back to life. So that's the third thing. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, voluntarily lays down his life for the sheep, for you and me. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? He voluntarily gave his life, sacrificed his life, went through the abuse, the torture, the excruciating way that the Romans liked to kill people. Crucifixion was an awful thing. He did that. He voluntarily gave his life for you and me. That's the love of God. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. And the final thing is this from this passage. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, invites other people to join the flock. Isn't that wonderful? You see, verse 16, it says that. They listen to his voice. Those other people also, those other sheep, listen to his voice. You see, he's talking about Gentiles, non-Jews, joining the flock. And that is predicted way back at the beginning of the Old Testament in Genesis and all the way through. Genesis 12 and 15, it was told to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. The Psalms, Isaiah, and many other places. It was fulfilled through people like Rahab the Canaanite and Ruth the Moabite, who are listed in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. Gentiles, they weren't Jews, they were Gentiles, and they were coming into the flock. Then it was fulfilled through the ministry of Jesus to Gentiles as well as to Jews. And then it was more fulfilled more and more to in the early churches as the people reached out and Gentiles, non-Jews, became followers of Jesus. And ever since that time, it continues to be the case that people from every nation, as Revelation says, who will one day worship together before the throne of God, people from every nation are coming in. That's the final fulfillment of this vision that runs all the way through the Bible. So Jesus says, I will gather other people into my flock as well. I think I've just about got time to share this. Hope, Toyin, is that okay? Yeah, I'm all right? Okay, just checking. I'm very excited by the growth of the church anywhere in the world. And I read about a week ago that the fastest growing church in the UK now is the Chinese church. Did you know that? That's the research that's just been done. I think it was the Bible Society. Fastest growing church in the UK are Chinese churches. And many of them have come from Hong Kong, Christians who've come from Hong Kong and have joined churches. It's nice to have you with us. It's a real blessing. And the churches, there's a church in Manchester that has grown fivefold, or was it sixfold? I can't remember. It's now 1,500 people. Chinese churches in the UK are the fastest growing churches. Praise the Lord. And so God is bringing people. Yes, they are Christians, but God is bringing people here to the UK. And that's a wonderful thing. Christians from Iran are joining us. Great to have you with us. It's a really wonderful thing. God is bringing people into his flock from many, many different backgrounds. And so I wonder whether we can praise God for that, and many of you as well. I'm not being exclusive here. We praise God. I praise God for the fact that he has brought people to the UK from many different backgrounds. Because I believe that this is going to shake the UK church out of its complacency. And it's going to challenge us about our spirituality. It already has. And it is going to challenge us about our welcome. You know, those of you who know, back in the 50s and 60s, people who came from the Caribbean did not, by and large, receive a good welcome in the churches that they came to. That's not going to happen again, I pray and I hope. And we welcome people. And that is one of the challenges, that as God brings people into his flock, who are from many, many different backgrounds and nations. We praise God and we look and thank God for the opportunity that that gives us. And we praise him for the opportunity that it also brings us to share the gospel with those who come to the UK who do not yet know Jesus. Isn't that a great opportunity? Many people in Wolverhampton, many people in the West Midlands who've come from non-Christian backgrounds, and I believe that they will be added to the flock, as Jesus says it will be here. That people, he will bring other sheep into his flock. He's been doing that for 2,000 years. More people have been coming into his flock from many backgrounds. So Jesus, the Good Shepherd, does these four things and more. But here in John 10, four things. Let me recap on them. He knows us. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows the sheep. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, invites us into relationship with him. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, cares about us. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for us and came back to life again to show that death was not the end and that we, his sheep, will live forever, eternal life. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, invites people from every background, every ethnic background, every age, every generation to be part of his family. Four wonderful things that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, does from John 10. Jesus looked at some crowds one day. You know the passage, I think, in Matthew 9. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You see, they needed good leadership. They needed direction. And it's the same today, isn't it? Many people are harassed and helpless, don't have direction, don't have any hope. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, offers that. Jesus is the leader worth following. Amen? Can I get an amen to that? Jesus is the leader, the Good Shepherd, worth following. And so we invite you to put your life into the hands of that leader, Jesus, if you haven't yet done this. And he calls leaders in his church to be shepherds of his flock, to care as he cared, to tend the sheep as he did. And so pray that those who lead, those of us who lead this church, and those of us who will join the team, will be good shepherds following the example of Jesus. Let me read one passage as I finish from 1 Peter. Peter says this to the leaders of the church: be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. You see, leadership here is about serving God with the right motives. It's about leading by example, as Jesus did. It's about encouraging people to become followers of Jesus. And it's about encouraging all of us to surrender our lives to him and to hear from him and to listen to his voice. And it's about loving each other and teaching others to love each other. And it's about encouraging us to pray together in faith and expectation as we seek the Lord's will and his direction upon us, the Good Shepherd of the sheep. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a song now, and